Hello, and welcome to another episode of Good Timing with me, your host, Isabel Hagen. We've got another solo episode for you. We've got another solo episode. Great start. I've got another solo episode for you. Me and myself. It's just me. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about using gravity when you're playing the viola or another string instrument for your right arm, for your bow arm, and letting gravity actually keep your bow in the string, not pressing, but letting gravity do the work. And that's a good way to help with when your arm is shaking from nerves, just sort of releasing into gravity rather than pressing, because that's actually going to cause more tension and maybe more shaking. And I was thinking, what a wonderful analogy for life. Just let gravity do the work. I was thinking about that since I did the episode. Let gravity do its job. Let life happen. Try not to push too much. Now, you got to push a little bit. You know, if I always let gravity just do the job, I wouldn't leave the couch. But in general, if you're in a moment and you're like, well, I could try to micromanage this and do all these things to try to fix something. Or you could just sort of let it all unfold and see what happens. I thought about this yesterday. I was doing 3 shows. The first show was in Brooklyn on a rooftop. The second show was in Manhattan in the West Village. And the third show was back at that rooftop in Brooklyn. And it was a very annoying itinerary. I had to take 2 trains to get to the Village and 2 trains back. And it was one of those times where when I was going from the first show to the second show, it felt like the universe was maybe like telling me not to do the second show, because everything that could have kept me from getting there happened. Like, I was waiting for a train that eventually I realized wasn't running because it was the weekend. So I was waiting for a train that was never going to come. So I had to take a different train. And then I took that train to another train and I just missed that second train. And the next one was coming in like 13 minutes. I was going to be really late for this show. And my first thought was, okay, well, if I'm going to be late for this show, I have to still get on right when I get there. Even if I'm late and they want to put me at the end, I have to get on like the second I walk in that door so that I can leave that second show and then get back to the Bushwick, the Brooklyn show in time, all this stuff. And I was like, I got to text the producer of the show and tell him all this stuff. And then I thought, you know what? Why don't I just text the producer, hey, I'm going to be late, sorry. So that he knows that. And then just get there when I get there and deal with what I have to deal with when I get there. Maybe I'll be next. Maybe I'll have to ask another comic to switch places with me so I can make my third show. So I just sort of let go, let gravity, if you will. And I made it to the second show. And, you know, I got there and they were like, hey, Isabel, you're next. So it worked out perfectly. I did my set. Left right away, got back to Brooklyn for the third show, got there with enough time, did that one, and it was all good. It all worked out. Now, it doesn't always work out like that, but, you know, it was already going to be what it was going to be. So I was glad that I just sort of let myself not stress about it. I'm happy I had that moment of clarity. It's not always that easy, you know? Sometimes when we're stressed, you're too deep in it. You can't sort of bring yourself out of it. And that's okay too. You got to just sort of do what you can do. You can't just magically say, oh yeah, but I think if we set those intentions, then eventually maybe we start absorbing them. Things take a while to absorb. And I think that gives us doubt in these sort of solutions because we think, oh, if they don't work right away, then it doesn't work, but it takes time. You have to keep sort of trying to let go, and then eventually, maybe you'll be able to let go a little bit. And it's like that when you're practicing an instrument. You keep doing some exercise that is supposed to help your technique and it's not working. You keep trying, you keep trying. And then, you know, maybe one day after doing that for like a month, all of a sudden you realize your technique is better. And you're like, oh, it was working. I just had to sort of have faith in the process. And that was something I got to figure out more when I started stand-up, because I had been doing music for so long that I really lost faith in the process, because I had gotten to a certain level, like an advanced level, and then didn't really feel like I was making any more improvements, because your improvements when you're already good at something are going to be pretty small. But then when I started stand-up and I was really bad at it, then anytime I started getting laughs, I was like, whoa, I'm like, it's working. My getting up every night on stage is working. And it reminded me that doing something often that you know will help, it will help. Is this helpful? I don't know. So here's an idea I had this week. I was thinking a lot about saying no in life. That's popular advice for someone who is on a path to try to succeed at something, especially something very specific. Saying no is important. You don't want to do things that may seem like a fun or good opportunity in the moment, but that don't ultimately serve your purpose. And it's hard to always decipher what is something to say no to and what is not. And you get better and better at it. And I agree with this. I think saying no is good. I think it's really hard. I don't like disappointing people. You feel like you're disappointing someone when you say no. There's also FOMO. You feel like maybe this would be a good opportunity to like meet someone, or I don't know, do this random event show or this job or whatever. Ultimately, like in my experience, anytime I've thought maybe this would be good and I've done it, it's never been like really worth it. Now, sometimes it's just good money and I need the money and I do it. So of course you have to like balance out what the reasoning is, but ultimately just figuring out what serves you and what doesn't. And it's not always that clear. I was thinking this is so similar to editing something you wrote or created, because you're going through, I was editing something I wrote recently. This is why I had the idea. And there are all these individual things that you wrote and you like. Oh, I like that line. I like what she's saying there. But ultimately, it kind of slows down the story, slows down the scene. Maybe it's really not that necessary. It's like too wordy if I'm thinking about it. And so I have to cut it and I have to say no to that idea. And it's sort of a micro level of how we might want to live our lives on the macro level. I just like finding these little connections on the small and the larger scale. So editing is like saying no. Now, I would like to take some questions from listeners, but no one has written me any questions. So I'm just going to ask myself some questions and then do my best to answer them. So here it goes. Questions from Isabel for Isabel. First question, Isabel, what's your best advice for someone struggling to keep a creative routine? Wow, great question. Well, maybe what I would say is if you are struggling to have a routine, maybe you shouldn't have a routine. I don't feel like I've ever really had a consistent routine in my life. Maybe you're like, wow, how did you accomplish all the amazing things you've accomplished without a routine? That's such a nice thing to think. Thank you. There was a time in my life where I practiced viola like 3 hours a day, almost every day, but it wouldn't be at the same time every day. And I'm someone who just really can't plan when I'm going to do self-initiated activities the day before. That really has to come with the day. I think it has to do with me struggling with a lot of anxiety and obsessive thoughts. And if it's something that's just for me, it's hard to to get myself to do the thing when I said I was going to do it. Now, if it's an obligation where I would let someone else down, like I have to be somewhere at a certain time or something is due for someone else to receive, then I will get that done by that time. I'm pretty good at that. But if I'm like, oh, I want to practice every day from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then again from 4 to 5, like I will not do that every day. And some people do, and I admire those people. I think if you're someone who really thrives on routine and needs it, then you find routine in your life. I don't know. Maybe I would thrive on routine, but I've never been able to keep any kind of routine whether it's with, you know, meditating at a certain time, writing, music, anything, exercising, eating habits. It's all really by the day. And I think that's okay as long as you don't feel like you're harming yourself or letting yourself not reach your potential. Because the thing is, I still write every day. I really do. And I, at this point, you know, I take my viola out. That's not really as much of a long-term goal anymore. But I write every day. And I think the key is that it's something I'm excited about and inspired. Now, there's counter advice to that. You know, you can't just wait for inspiration to strike. I agree with that. I think there's a certain amount of just pushing yourself. But it doesn't have to be at the same time every day. And also, if inspiration is what helps you write, then why not just cultivate inspiration? You know, I spend more energy cultivating that feeling so that I just feel like, oh, I just want to write right now. So I will like listen to a piece of music that I know I just love and makes me feel certain things and always gets the juices flowing and I get inspired and I see a scene in my head or whatever. And then I usually just want to go write. So then whenever I have a free moment, I take out my laptop and I just start writing. Sometimes to cultivate the inspiration, I'll just decide to read what I wrote the day before. I'll just read it. And then usually when I start reading it, I start writing more. And it's the same with stand-up. I usually won't be like, okay, I need to write 5 jokes right now. So that usually doesn't work. And usually if I try that, it's not going to be something that's very funny or something that I really care about. So instead, I'll just watch a special from one of my favorite comedians. I'll watch a set from Gary Goldman, who I love. It just usually gets that part of my brain working, and I'll just all of a sudden have like a joke idea, and then I'll write it down, and then all of a sudden I'm writing. So everyone's different, but that's something that's really worked for me, rather than focusing on having some sort of strict routine and doing something at a specific time, just trying to make good choices in the moment as I go. And of course, you know, meeting your obligations, not letting people down and all of that. Wow, great question, me. Okay, next question. Isabel, how do you know when it's time to give up? Wow, that is that's a big one. Well, what I'll say is, you know, never just give up. You know, never just like completely throw in the towel on life and having ambitions and caring about things. However, there might be a lot of times where you need to sort of, for lack of a better phrase, give up on a certain thing that you're pursuing that's not working. And I like to think of this more as like a shift. Shifting isn't giving up. Shifting is just getting closer and closer to what you truly want, what you want to do, who you want to be. And what we want isn't always obvious right away. So it's a lot of this trial and error. And I think the hardest part of that is identifying the error, because you feel like you're failing when you're saying it's an error. But really, identifying the error is just saying, okay, well, this particular avenue that I'm going down right now isn't working. So let me shift over. Maybe for me, let's say, I've been doing a lot. I've been trying to do more like story stuff in my stand-up, and I keep trying, and it's just kind of not inspiring me. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to go back to trying to do more short jokes that I love and one-liners and all of that stuff. And then maybe I'll go back to the trying to do stories eventually. It's all this trial and error and seeing what reaps you the most benefits, you know, externally and also internally. And I think it's also hard identifying the error because we don't want to feel like we're giving up, and we maybe get attached to this pursuit that, like, why are we still trying to do this? Like, for me, with music, there was a time when I thought I was going to be some great violist who was, like, in a traveling string quartet and also soloed with orchestras. And then maybe, oh, one day I'll also get that job in the New York Phil and settle down with that. And it's like, those are all things that take a tremendous amount of focus and dedication and hours of practice every day. And for a while, I was holding on to that dream, yet didn't really want to practice as much as I knew I would have to in order to get those things. I probably could have gotten some of that if I really, really wanted to. And I'm not trying to say that in a cocky way, like, well, if I wanted to, I could do that. But, like, you know, whatever. I could have probably gotten an orchestra job if I really wanted one and put in the time and the dedication. And I have tremendous respect for anyone who goes and does that. But I didn't want it. And it was kind of this painful moment where I realized, like, maybe I just want to play experimental music and freelance. And then that shifted to maybe I don't really want to make my living solely on playing viola. And that was to, oh, maybe I'm really interested in comedy. And maybe I just want to quit viola and be a stand-up comedian. Now I've gotten into sort of a place where I do both, but that was an extreme thing for a while. And that might be what I end up doing. But it's a lot of this letting go. And I think our ego gets wrapped up in these things that we think we want to do, that we think we should do. But maybe you just don't want to do it. Think over the pandemic, I know people who just realized, who were stand-ups, they just didn't want to do stand-up anymore. And, like, that's totally okay. For me, I realized, whoa, I really do want to do stand-up. I miss this a lot. And now I'm back at it. So when is it time to give up? Probably a lot of the time, it's time to give up on specific things and make a shift. Again, it's like, to make an even more micro analogy, again, it's like editing. Sometimes you're writing something and, well, okay, not like editing, but like the writing process. You're writing something and you think, I'm always using a screenplay as the example, but writing a book, coming up with a song, whatever you're creating. Let's say you're like writing a screenplay and you really think this scene should happen between these two people, and you're writing it and you're like, this just seems like boring, or we're not really getting anywhere. And you get, but you're like attached to, but these two characters, they need to have this scene here. But like, maybe they don't. Maybe you could just scrap that whole thing and try something else. Trial and error. Third and final question. Okay, we've got Isabel, when are you going to stop sucking at absolutely everything you do? All right, well, that's just a mean one. I can be really mean to myself. That was just a joke about how I'm mean to myself a lot of the time. Last night I did a show, and the show was fine. It was a good, decent show. And then this comic got up before me, who I had seen a couple times, and he was so, so funny. And it made me feel kind of insecure about going up right after him, because I was just like, oh, like, if I loved that guy, like, I bet everyone else loved him, and they're going to be sad that I'm on stage now. They're going to be like, oh, bring back that comic. Bring back him. And so I did my set, and it went fine. I mean, a couple things didn't hit. Most things hit well. Some things really hit. I had a decent set, but I was really in my head about it because of this comic who went before me. And it really brought me back to what I often experienced when I was in music school, which was walking along the practice room hallways and hearing another violist play the same piece that I've been working on and just playing it better, maybe faster, more expressively, and just thinking, well, like, I should just give up. Why am I doing this? I suck. And it's so interesting that that's where our minds go. Why aren't we able to live in a reality where some people are better than we are and some people are worse? And that is the reality. But our minds take us to this extreme place of, well, if this person is better, then I better not even try. And again, that's the ego getting in the way. And it's hard because part of the reason you do things is because you want to be one of the best, because that would be a nice feeling, and that signifies hard work and it signifies certain virtues. But whenever I think about something I really enjoy, like a movie or a piece of music, I'm never thinking of it in terms of, well, they're the best to do this. I'm just thinking of it as, wow, they are really speaking to me right now. I'm really feeling connected. And so that's something we can strive to do in our creativity. We can strive for this just connection, because that's ultimately why we want to do it. It's not to be the best. It's to connect. That's why we want to create. That's why I want to create. The best feeling is when I make something and I perform it for somebody and they tell me that they related to it, whether it was something that was funny or, it's usually stuff that's funny. What else am I making? Pretending that I'm like a songwriter. I'm not. I wrote like one non-funny song. Oh man, this has been fun. Has this been fun for you? I hope you enjoyed this mini solo episode. If you have a question for me to answer on the podcast, you can submit it through my website on the contact form, isabelhagen.com. Go to contact. There'll be a submission form. You can write in a question. Just specify that you want it answered on the podcast. And until then, I'm going to be keeping on asking myself the big questions. Keep asking yourself the big questions. And stay in the moment. Stay hydrated. That's a big one. And take care. Thank you for listening. For more, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both at @IsabelHagen_, and sign up for my mailing list at isabelhagen.com. And as always, please rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much, and take care.